أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلة، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Brothers and sisters, it seems that the enemy, their plotting has continued. Things are getting a bit more exciting now. I don't know if you brothers and sisters have seen, but now they have the interview or the lecture of Sheikh Hamza is now also out there. And specifically the part which refers to the punishment which is reserved for people who do that homosexual act and are witnessed, or those people who admit. So now they have that little clip over there. And so now he has the honor of also, like Sheikh Farooq, he had the honor of being the sharp end of the stick. Now it's also Sheikh Hamza. God chose him, gave him the opportunity, and now he's also out there. His words are out there, and the enemy is doing their normal job, the blaming, the talking, these things. A couple of verses to remind ourselves of what this is all about, what we're doing, and what we expect, the help that we expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one, brothers and sisters, is Surah 14 and verse number 46. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكْرُهُمْ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. And they certainly devised their plot, but their plot is known by Allah, although their plotting be such as to move mountains. Surah 3, verse number 54. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plotted and Allah plotted, and Allah is the best of plotters. Brothers and sisters, we are absolutely not worried about this. All we have to do is make sure that we do our responsibility. Instead of this feeling coming within us, oh, they got Sheikh Hamza, he's next, who's next now? Right? And us panicking, having a panic attack. There's a dua actually that we're told to make for the month of Ramadan. Brothers and sisters, we learn from Imam Sadiq to make this dua at night. From Imam Sadiq, one line of the dua is this. We say, وَتَجْعَلَنِي مِمَّنْ تَنْتَصِرُ بِهِ لِدِينِكَ. O Allah, choose me to be one of those people who you use to make your religion victorious. وَلَا تَسْتَبْدِلْ بِي غَيْرِي. Don't replace me with anyone. So we actually pray for the honor of Allah giving us that opportunity and that chance to be able to be those people who will be representing Islam and speaking and talking and saying what it is that Islam says. We're not running away from that. We're not shying away from that. Instead, brothers and sisters, we have to keep our act together. I'm speaking to you, brothers and sisters, and all those people who will hear this message as part of the global resistance. We are all working, mu'mineen and mu'minat, to bring back the return of our master. These plans of the enemies will work against them, you'll see. Our only thing is to make sure that we hold the line. It may be a little bit of a dogfight, right? But who doesn't love a dogfight? It gets your juices flowing. So make it a little ugly, but it's going to get easier. The main part of the struggle has been taken care of. From now on, brothers and sisters, it gets easier. All you have to do is hold the line. This is now the words of Imam Ali. He taught us. He says, "Sabaru ayyaman qasira." The muttaqeen, the people who have taqwa, are people who waited and were patient for a few short days. Aqabathum rahatun tawila. After that, there's indefinite ease. Tijaratun murbiha. This is the words that the Imam chooses. He says, this is a profitable transaction. This is good business. Yes, there's some laws, but the gain that we're going to get from this makes it all worthwhile. Brothers and sisters, you will see how this will work out, inshallah. All we have to do, brothers and sisters, is hold the line and not break down. We don't need to also fear, right? If you're doing what God says, if you're practicing Islam the way that God says, you have nothing to fear, especially if your efforts are not just the minor a'mal in your personal lives, but rather working to liberate mankind and bring back the Mahdi. Let me share another hadith from you from Imam Ali. He says, إِنَّ الْأَمَرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. So when you do amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, he says, la yuqarribani min ajal. It's not going to shorten your lifespan, that because I stood up for what Islam said, then I died. Well, you're going to die anyway. Die honorably. He says, wala yanqusani min rizq. The other thing people worry about is money. That if I stand for what Islam says, then maybe my job. No, brothers and sisters, the Imam's telling us, the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, your rizq is in God's hands. No need to worry about your rizq. You just do your job and you focus on what happens. They're trying to make Islam seem ugly. I want to share a story with you, brothers and sisters. Islam, you know this already, Islam is attractive as is. You don't have to change Islam. You don't have to fix Islam. You don't have to present an Islam that doesn't have teeth. Islam is attractive as is. The Imam is going to be the savior of mankind. Not just us, not just the Shia, mustad'afin in the world. If he has that critical mass of believers, mu'mineen and mu'minat, who will stand with him and be with him. Now I want to remind you again about the words of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, what they've taught us. This is what they teach us. This is from Imam al-Ridha alayhi as-salam. He says, إِنَّ النَّاسِ, verily the people, surely the people, إِنَّ النَّاسِ لَوْ عَلِمُوا مَحَاسِنَا كَلَامِنَا لَتَّبِعُونَا. If the people only knew the beauty of our words, they would follow us. I want to give you an example. Not only the one is the beauty of the words, the other one is the practical image of what it is that Islam is. A story for you from Amir al-Mu'mineen. We're coming closer to his nights. And the time before the Battle of Jamal, Talha and Zubair sent one of their most trusted individuals to go meet Imam Ali and have negotiations with Imam Ali, a man named Khidash. Khidash went, and he is going now to go to Imam Ali. They stop him. They said, you're going to meet Imam Ali. We have to prepare you. You have to be mentally prepared how to handle Imam Ali. Imam Ali has bigger claims than anybody. Let's say Imam Ali starts saying he knows unseen or something like that. He has bigger claims than anybody. He's known for sorcery. They said when you go to Imam Ali, one of his tricks is that he'll come to you and say, come sit next to me. He'll say, come have food with me. They said, don't look into Imam Ali's eyes. Right? That's how he's going to get you. You don't look into his eyes. They gave him an ayah of Quran to recite so he can be protected and safe when he comes into the presence of Ali. This poor guy comes into the presence of Imam Ali, and Imam Ali sees him reciting his ayah of protection from the Imam. The Imam starts laughing. He says, come over here. Khidash says, no, I'm not going to come over here. There's a lot of space. He said, okay. He said, why don't you have some food? Qambar, stand up, get our guests some food. He said, no food. I know your tricks, no food. He said, okay, come talk to me. We'll talk one-on-one in person. He said, I'm not going to talk to you in person. I know everything. Then Imam Ali asked him, he said, did Khidash give you an ayah to recite? Did Zubair give you an ayah to recite? He said, yeah. The ayah of Sukhra, a specific ayah of the Quran. He said, yeah. He said, so say the ayah. That poor guy, how did Imam Ali know? He's saying the ayah. He's stumbling. Imam Ali looking at him. He's stumbling, can't say it right. Imam Ali's helping him. He makes a mistake over there. No, the correct I'rab is this. Like this. Bismillah. Again. Till he said it 70 times. He said, Khidash, you okay now? Everything okay? Your heart at peace? He said, yeah, alhamdulillah. He says, now what's your message? He goes over and tells him the message. Imam Ali doesn't, this is the important part. Imam Ali doesn't apologize. He listens to the message. He gives them the message to take back to Talha and Zubair in a very stern way. Now Khidash, get out of here. Go with that message. Khidash says, I'm not going anywhere. He says, unless you make dua for me, that I come back here. Imam Ali makes dua for him. He goes, he gives a message, he comes back, becomes shaheed with Ali. Islam is attractive. We don't have to fix Islam to make Islam. No. What do we have to do? What is our responsibility, brothers and sisters? And I mentioned this before, I'll mention this again. Your stances, brothers and sisters, individually and collectively are important. Mu'mineen and mu'minat, your stances are important to your imam. The Mahdi is waiting on that critical mass. If we make the right stances, we can be there for our imam, the imam can return. If we abandon our imam, abandon the path, the problem is us. If we're defeated, it's because we don't do our job, not because Islam's not victorious. I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, about a similar situation. This is the Battle of Uhud. The Battle of Uhud, they tell us, takes place on the 3rd of Shawwal, just after the month of Ramadan. We're coming up on Shawwal now. What happened in the Battle of Uhud? More than that, what happened before the Battle of Uhud? How come we didn't? Let me just share this with you. This is important for us to keep in mind. When we go over Islamic history, why do we go over it? What lessons are we learning? And where do we see ourselves at that time? Where would we have been during Badr? Brothers and sisters, you and your children. Where would you have been in Badr? Where would you have been in Uhud? What was your job? Brothers and sisters, if you look carefully at our battles, we could have won the victory in Badr if we had followed the wali of the time. We would have been victorious in Badr. What happened in Badr? Read the history yourselves. The mu'mineen decided to take war booty, as opposed, they said, we're going to take these people as prisoners and we're going to return them for money. The Prophet warned them. They could have ended the battle right there. Because the mu'mineen wouldn't listen to the wali of the time, then we had Uhud. Now what happens? Uhud. So we go over to Uhud now. Different accounts of the numbers. Roughly, we hear around 3,000 of the enemy under the command of Abu Sufyan. They tell us 700 people with male armor, cavalry. The mu'mineen, what numbers did we have? We had Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We were moving in that direction. How many? They tell us 900 people. So 3-1 odds. What else happened? In addition to that, the munafiq, Abdullah bin Ubay, he took away 300 of the mu'mineen and he said, we're going back. So now we have 600. Now we have 600. According to some estimates, the enemy with their cavalry, compared to our cavalry, outnumbered us 50-1 with their cavalry. Now you see, brothers and sisters, the military genius of your prophet. The military genius of your prophet. Our prophet knew, if I go and fight them in an open area, they've got that much cavalry, we're going to get slaughtered. What did the prophet do? He goes over and he moves to Uhud. So what happened in Uhud? Look at the maps later yourself and see what your prophet did. He goes and he puts us in where would we be? Mu'mineen. In a mountain, in an area where our backs are to the mountain. If the enemy wants to come to Medina, they've got to come right through us. If they want to come through us, I like those odds. I've got Ali, I've got Hamza, champions, mu'mineen. We're ready. Let them come and meet us right on the ground. But we've negated, because of the terrain, we've negated their horsemen. We've negated the cavalry. So let them come, we'll take them on, we'll fight. They'll come and they have to kill each and every one of the mu'mineen, and then they can become victorious. Brothers and sisters, careful now. What was the role of the mu'mineen? The job that the mu'mineen had was, look at the map. So the map is this way, enemy coming, we're fighting, Ali, Hamza, mu'mineen here. The only area of weakness is that the mu'mineen can get attacked from the rear. The Prophet saw that that was going to be a weakness. The Prophet told 50 of the mu'mineen, hold the line. The same thing we have to do right now. Hold the line. There's 50 of you. He says, if all of us are killed, you don't come from this mountain pass. You hold the line. He put a man in charge, Abdullah bin Jubair. Non-ma'asum. Keep this in mind, because all of these things, we have to keep them in mind for our own battle plan right now. Non-ma'asum, Abdullah bin Jubair, he's over there. You don't come down from the mountain pass. You fight. All of us are killed or we become victorious. This is the thing. Now, we go forward. The enemy, they divided their army into different parts. You'll remember these names. So you remember the lead commander is Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan divided his cavalry into two wings. One of them Akrama, one of them Khalid ibn al-Walid, the cavalry. Who is in charge of coordinating the attack of the cavalry? They tell us Amr ibn al-As, that crafty person. He's in charge of coordinating the attacks of the cavalry. Their specific instructions, they're also generals. They're also good at fighting. What you do, that you keep looking and you keep trying to attack the mu'mineen from the rear, from that one area. That's your job. We're going to go, we're going to engage the mu'mineen from the front. You go and you attack from that area. We see that that's an area of weakness. That's your job. So the enemy goes over and they send out their champions. There's a tribe, the Bani Abd al-Dar. They're the standard bearers of the enemy. Their champion, a man named Talha bin Abi Talha. Talha bin Abi Talha, the champion, going to be the standard bearer. Abu Sufyan uses shaitanic techniques to get them ready to fight. He says, Quraysh, the reason we lost last time is because of our standard bearers. He tells Talha bin Abi Talha, if you can't take the standard, if you can't hold it, then we will take it for you. Talha gets so upset. They say he had dates in his mouth. He flung them out. He said, I'm going to send them to the pits of hell. He comes over and he tells the mu'mineen, he says, who's going to fight me? At the time when he told the mu'mineen who's going to come to fight, they said no, none of the mu'mineen wanted to come to get him. Talha bin Abi Talha. And the Prophet, Imam Ali at this time, different reports about his age. Either he's 23, 26, different. Some because when he went to Medina, either he was 20 or he's 23. So now 3 years later. So Imam Ali's young. But this is what we learn about the Holy Prophet. They said, Lam tanzil bihi shidda qat. So it was never the case that any difficulty would happen, illa qaddamahu laha, except that he would send Imam Ali to take on that tough task. If there's a difficult mission that needs to be taken on, I send Ali out there to take it. Thiqatan bih, out of trust in Ali. He knew that Ali would take the mission and he would do it. So Talha comes over, he doesn't recognize who Imam Ali is. Man anta, who are you? He says that I'm Ali ibn Abi Talib. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Listen carefully to the words of Ali, of Talha now. He says, قَدْ عَلِمْتُ يَا قَذِمْ أَنَّهُ. He says that, he calls Imam Ali by a name, a childhood nickname. He says, قَذِمْ, I knew it was you. Nobody else will be bold enough to come and face me about you. قَذِمْ, the childhood nickname. Why does he call Imam Ali قَذِمْ? Back in the day, remember the story of the Holy Prophet when he was in Mecca. Psychological warfare. How do we crush this mission of the Prophet? We know the Prophet's going to liberate the masses. How will we crush this warfare? Different methods. One of the methods, they would take children and they'd make them go and run after the Prophet and throw rocks at the Prophet. They're treating the Prophet like he's a crazy person, like he's Majnoon. So you have kids, a 40-year-old man walking in the streets trying to invite people to Allah, and children throwing rocks at him like he's a crazy person. If he chases the children, everybody laughs. Alhamdulillah, that's a victory. If he doesn't chase the children, he's trying to have a normal conversation. There's kids throwing rocks at him. The Prophet comes home and he complains to Ali. He says, what's happening? Ya Rasulullah, this is a situation. He said, don't worry, I can fix it for you. Imam Ali was young, right? Maybe 9, maybe 11 when he first becomes Muslim, when he first announces his Islam. So Imam Ali is the same age as the kids. After that, when those kids would gather around, Ali would go after those kids. He used to tear those cats up. The word they used to say, Qadhimna Ali, right? That Qadhimana Ali, the reason they used to call him Qadhim is they used to use the words in Arabic. They used to say, Ali has broken us. When they would go back to their fathers, Ali beat us up. Ali tore us apart. Right? So Talha knows that this is Ali. He says, I knew it was you, but he calls him by that childhood nickname. He says, only you would be bold enough to come and get me. The fight starts with the standard bearer of the enemy, that champion of the enemy. I want you to look this up later. When Imam Ali finally strikes this guy, the mortal blow, they say that Imam Ali went and cut him from both thighs. The strongest bone in the body, they tell us, is the thigh bone. It can take almost a ton of weight. He cuts both thighs in half. He drops on the floor. He begs Imam Ali not to kill him. He says, I'm your relative. The Muslim said, Talha was so dangerous. The Muslim, no, kill him, he's down now, kill him. Imam Ali said, no, he's not going to recover. The other ones come up, his brothers, relatives, they come up, they take up the standard. Imam Ali kills this one. He takes up the standard, this one, till he goes through 9 members of Talha bin Talha, Abi's them and their family from Bani Abdiddar. Then their slave comes, Su'ab. Su'ab is this ogre of a man. When you look in the books, the history books, it says, Kana min ashadd an-nas. So this champion, the slave of these people, comes over and he takes up the standard. He tries to fight Imam Ali. Imam Ali cuts off one hand. He takes up the standard with the next hand. Imam Ali cuts off that hand. He's so determined, he's carrying the standard with his nubs. There's different reports how Imam Ali finished him. Some say Imam Ali went and he split his head open like a can. Other people said no. Imam Ali went and he chopped him in half. So that when he chopped the body in half, the legs are still standing. The body falls on the ground. The women, remember, they had been brought out there as cheerleaders. So they're over there cheering, go, 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 we need to fight. So they come and they come out now as the main battle starts with the Muslims and these people. The Muslims launch into these guys. The fight starts. They are slaughtering them. The enemy puts up a fight. Khalid tries to come and attack that area, the weakened area. But the archers are there. Those 50 of the archers, they fight him off. Repeatedly, Khalid tries to attack. But the Mu'mineen are still listening. The battle continues. The enemy starts to panic. The enemy starts to run. Now they're running. When the enemy runs, they start to leave their belongings behind. Dunya. War booty. Some of the mu'mineen, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hamza, champions, chasing and pursuing the enemy, not being distracted. Some of the mu'mineen said, now is the time to make a few bucks. They start picking up these things off the floor. When they start picking up the things off the floor, who sees? The archer. The mu'mineen, not able to hold the line. They start arguing with one another. We should go down. We should stay here. The commander, he's not ma'asum. He says, no, hold the line. The Prophet said, no matter what, we're here till the end. They said, no. The war, we're winning now. Things change. The champions are fighting in the front. Some of the mu'mineen picking up the booty. The archers abandon their position. They come running down the hill. Khalid sees, the attack comes, and he comes from the rear. They say 12 archers stayed behind. They fought as hard as they could. Khalid with his horsemen, 200 horsemen, 12 archers. You're shooting arrows as fast as you can. But, so they make those mu'mineen become shuhada. Then Khalid comes down into the back of the mu'mineen, who are now some of the champions out in the front fighting, killing these things. Some mu'mineen gathering, and they come down. When he attacks, Akrama attacks also. So now both wings, 400 horsemen attacking from the rear. Mu'mineen were so confused. Mu'mineen started killing each other. Swinging, who's hitting us? How? Mu'mineen start running. When Mu'mineen start running, according to some accounts, everybody ran. So some of the mu'mineen out in front, Imam Ali, these other people fighting. One other thing to remember. In the confusion, Hind, she also had put a bounty on the heads of 3 individuals. She told Wahshi. Wahshi was very good with the javelin. She told Wahshi, she said, either you kill Prophet Muhammad, or you kill Ali, or you kill Hamza. She said, when it comes to Prophet Muhammad, I can't kill him, because his companions are always around him. He says, when it comes to Ali, the reason I can't get Ali, it says, when Ali would fight, it says, كَانَ أَحْذَرْ مِنَ الذِّبْ. So when Imam Ali would fight, he was more alert than a wolf. So he's fighting, but he's almost like he has eyes behind his head. You can't get to Ali. You can't. So he says, I can't get close enough to use that javelin and to hit Imam Ali. He said, but I can get Hamza. When Hamza's there, for the sake of Allah, he gets so angry. He concentrates on who he's killing. He won't see that I get next to him. So he waited now, in this time of confusion. Then Wahshi goes. He sees now the mu'mineen distracted. Hamza fighting as hard as he can. And he goes over and he hits Hamza. Hamza goes. So now, mu'mineen scattering. Mu'mineen abandoned the Prophet. The Prophet, when he would get under a lot of pressure and the Prophet would get very angry, the Prophet would sweat. The Prophet calling back to the mu'mineen, Ilayya, come back. Ana inni ana Rasulullah. Ila ain tafirun. Where are you running? An Allah wa an Rasul. You're running away from Allah, you're running away from the Prophet. The Prophet calling them back. The Mu'mineen ran away from the Prophet. Ali ran back to the Prophet. When he ran back to the Prophet to protect the Prophet, and he was fighting ferociously, Imam Ali. The fight was so severe. Again, it's not like the entire army was on the Prophet. Some of them chasing Mu'mineen, some of them killing people, all these different things happening. But the fight was so severe that Imam Ali was knocked off his feet 16 times, they tell us, in the fight. 16 times fighting, getting up, fighting. Finally, then he needs to get his sword replaced. He gets that sword, Dhulfiqar, right? That's when you heard that call, because he came to after the thing. They said that Imam Ali's, his legs were trembling. He brought the broken pieces of the sword to the Prophet. The Prophet gave him Dhulfiqar, right? Imam Ali, remember, he's fighting people on horseback and on foot. And that's when you heard the cry of Jibra'il, La Saif, Illa Dhulfiqar, Wa La Fata, Illa Ali. It's at this battle. So, Imam Ali fought. They said he got 90 wounds protecting the Holy Prophet. Fighting off, he was attacking this group, that group. Finally, when people see that heroic defense, people start coming back. One of the people who defended the Prophet is a woman, actually, who came and fought for the Prophet. Mu'mineen slowly start to come back. It's not a total loss, right? Now, what lesson do we learn from this? This is the part that's important for us. God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does analysis of what happened in Uhud. Where did we go wrong? What did we do? Inshallah, we can look at this verse later ourselves. Surah 3, verse number 152. What does God say? It says, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ. Allah certainly fulfilled His promise to you when you were slaying them by His leave. In the beginning, the Prophet, he had promised victory if the Mu'mineen had taqwa, they had patience, God had promised them victory. God kept His end of the bargain. In the beginning, you were winning. God kept His promise, you were winning. Until some things happened. The Mu'mineen made some mistakes. He says, "Hatta إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ." You became weak. You became weak. What else? وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. You started to quarrel amongst yourselves. وَعَصَيْتُمْ. And you disobeyed. Three things Mu'mineen did wrong. One of them, that feeling of weakness. One of them, quarreling amongst themselves. And brothers and sisters, we need to be really careful about this. One of the things that we see within the ranks of Mu'mineen is sometimes we waste our energies fighting with one another. Ego comes out. You know that when Imam Khomeini ended up having to sign the peace treaty with Saddam, it wasn't because of external pressures. It was inside the Islamic Republic. There were certain military commanders who had serious problems with each other. The problems were internal. There were internal problems. And part of it, some of those military commanders, we hear disputes, not able to hold the line. In addition to that, internal problems. That led Imam Khomeini to go over and sign the peace treaty. So what happened? Hatta إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ بَعْدَ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. You disobeyed after Allah had showed you what you wanted, to what you loved. So, lessons. Brothers and sisters, again for us in our situation, we're going to be victorious. We have to hold the line. We have to stay strong. We have to promote Islam, lead by example, not back down, not change. If we can do that, what is the promise of God? كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many times is it that a small group has defeated a large group? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And Allah is with the patient. Allah is with the patient. This is a time for patience, brothers and sisters. You brothers and sisters are resourceful people. Allah didn't put you in a situation where you're not going to be able to handle your affairs. The pressure, the Islamophobia, is not going to break you. Allah says in the Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah doesn't place a burden that's on a servant more than their ability. That means, brothers and sisters, you've been given the tools to overcome this. You've been given the tools to overcome this. What do you need to do, brothers and sisters? One of the things that we're going to have to do is to put our heads together, to think, to plan, to come up with strategies on how we're going to resist. I'm going to mention some things. I'll be benefiting also from my brothers and my sisters, what they feel are some of the strategies and things that we need to be doing in order to get where we need to go. But keep this in mind. We have to be able, brothers and sisters, to listen to conflicting opinions. In order for us to get where we need to go, different people will have different solutions. We need to be able to listen to conflicting opinions. We don't want to run away from the idea of sharing an opinion. Even if somebody else doesn't like it, we'll come to the right conclusions in the end. Let me share a hadith with you from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says, اضربوا بعض الرعي ببعض. Share your thoughts with those who have conflicting ideas. يتولد منه الصواب. The truth is going to emerge. The correct path will emerge. Don't be afraid to seek counsel. Don't be afraid, even if you're dealing with Islamic leadership, to present your point strongly. If God sees us and we're pushing and we're trying, God's going to show us the way. We're going to figure this out. So don't be afraid to present your opinions. But after a decision is taken, brothers and sisters, then we have to learn that we hold the line. As long as we're doing our responsibility, this is part of being part of the global resistance. As long as we do our job, we had taqwa, we tried our best, we thought about this, we came up with solutions, when we take a stance, then after that, don't worry about the results. I want to share a hadith with you from our Imam, from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. As long as that taqwa is there, as long as that fear of God is there, as long as we do our responsibility, we have nothing to worry about. Even if our plans come out to be mistaken, we're not worried about that. God will fix that. What's the hadith? He says, Inna Allah azza wa jal yaqi bit taqwa anil ab ma azaba anhu aqluh. God, because of the believer having taqwa, having fear of God, trying their best, doing their Islamic responsibility, there's some things that the aql can't see. I wasn't able to figure this out. I hadn't planned for this. I didn't do that. As long as a believer has taqwa, that which escapes the aql, God will ward off from the believer. There's sometimes, you may have experienced this in your personal lives. I plan. I try, I go for, I'm looking for a particular job. I try this job, it doesn't work. God had a plan for me. Later I may see when God made this work out for me. I tried to get married, I approached this person, we tried to, it didn't work out. But I did have taqwa. God, God will be on the lookout for us. If we have taqwa, God will be on the lookout for us. We can't get it wrong, brothers and sisters, if we do our responsibility. So we just have to be a little bit patient. Be a little bit patient. We have to put on our big boy pants. Some people panic. They panic. We have a hadith though. I said it's going to get easier, brothers and sisters. We just have to hold the line. Some people panic when they get little masa'ib. Small afflictions, problems, insults. Some people panic. Hadith says, this is from Imam Ali, he says, "Man 'azzama sighar al-masa'ib." That person who makes a big deal out of little masaib, small problems, ibtalahu Allah bikibariha. Allah will afflict that person with real masaib. It gets easier. We heard the hold the line, it's going to get easier. We panic. So we don't want to be those people that the malaika are looking at us and they see this little bit of problems that we have and the malaika are like, are you serious? Suck it up, princess. We don't want that to happen, right? We have to be strong. Now is the time for us to advise one another to have sabr, right? As it says in that verse of the Quran, it says, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. So brothers and sisters, get your game face on. We're going to do this. It's going to be all right. We just have to find out what our responsibility is, and we're going to use these lectures, inshallah, and the lectures that are going on around the world as a war room to come up with strategies. And then after that, inshallah, to do our responsibility. You ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad to accept what was said and heard in his way, to give guidance to us, to protect us, to forgive us, our families, our fathers, our mothers, those who have gone in the past who taught us Islam. We also ask Allah to help the mu'mineen and mu'minat wherever they are in the world. We don't want to forget our brothers and sisters who are undergoing real struggle in Yemen, in Saudi Arabia, in Iraq, all over the world. We don't want to forget them from our du'as. And of course, we pray for our maraja and especially the leader. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli